WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is PC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rack, and you're listening to the greatest rack.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Fly, my pretties, fly.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you have Twitch Prime and you happen to have that free sub available and you'd like to use it here, well, click the purple button up at the top of the screen and go ahead and use it. We very much appreciate it. But if not, that's fine too. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're mostly live. Some things don't want to work, but we're getting to work at some point. So, hi. We're here. We're live. At Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lynn Tord on Twitter, RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or Twitch.tv/WTRLive is the way to listen to us live right now, because whatever.
You know, this little thing called NXT TakeOver War Games happened, and, I mean, like, nothing happened, right? Like, absolutely nothing happened. This is gonna be super quick. Nobody died. Nobody, you know, betrayed their best friend, you know, or anything like that, which I think, you know, maybe one of our special guests wants to talk about, maybe not, I don't know, but we do have special guests, so let's take it away for the intros.
The NXT analyst, TJ Omega. Well, I'm a man with a brand.
So this was really uneventful.
Yeah, nothing happened.
It was nothing.
Boring show.
Yeah.
We're really kidding, y'all.
Boring show. Nothing happened. We're done. Bye.
Bye.
No.
Let's go play Fortnite.
Fortnite. All right. Cool. No. We got stuff to talk about, but we need one more person, Lindsay.
We do.
Here we go.
From 20,000 leagues under the sea, the busiest shark of them all, the assistant to the assistant regional shark.
And here comes Dakota Kai, remember? She didn't. What the hell? What the hell is Dakota Kai doing? Are you kidding me?
Intern Shark Kane Kittens.
I'm waiting for my intro. My feed cut out for a minute. I didn't hear. What happened?
Oh.
Really?
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
hold on.
I didn't hear your feed.
Let's go. We gotta go again.
From 20,000 leagues under the sea, the busiest shark of them all, the assistant to the assistant regional shark.
And here comes Dakota Kai. Remember, she didn't. What the hell?
Intern Shark Kane Kittens.
I think there's something. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
You're
good.
So, I don't know. It keeps cutting out.
Does it? It must be on your end.
There's something wrong with my internet. Okay, something wrong with my internet.
Well, that goes without saying. Fine. I mean, you know, there's always something wrong with your internet.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll have to work on that.
Okay. All right. Okay. So since we all heard Brent's intro and it has to do with, you know, Dakota Kai, let's start with the pre-show because we need to talk about that because eventful things happened on the pre-show, including that Mia Yim got taken out by one Dakota Kai.
But we didn't know that.
Right away.
But she just happened to be there when she was found hurt. Imagine that.
And she had her hair and her makeup all done as if she was ready for a match.
Huh. That's weird. That's so weird.
Her hair looked really cute tonight.
It did look really cute. And as they're loading Mia into the ambulance, William Regal looks at Rhea Ripley and's like, well, you gotta find somebody else. Good luck.
And then she just yoinks Dakota out of the ambulance going, you're on our team now.
Change my mind.
Man up.
We need you. Let's go. And Dakota kind of like feigns, oh, I don't know.
You want revenge on Rhea. Tonight's your night. You get the chance. Then she was added to the team.
You saw that part. Okay.
Yeah, I saw Kiwi Wifey get added to the team.
Okay.
And to be fair, Kiwi Wifey is completely justified in being pissed. She should be. Because she got overlooked by all of them, including Tegan.
Well, her two best friends.
Yeah, her two best friends kind of sort of were like, yeah, we're going this way now. Bye.
Let her bye.
So then we had Angel Garza taking on
Isaiah Swerve Scott in the first ever live NXT pre-show match.
Yeah, she had wrestling on the pre-show.
Yeah, which featured the stripper kick from Garza, where
new Mr. Man panties.
She strips off his pants, throws them at his opponent. It's called the stripper kick. That's my new name for it.
No, man panties is a very specific type of gear. Those are not man panties. No. Technically, what Tommaso Ciampa wears are man panties.
So they had a good match on the pre-show while it lasted, but Angel Garza got the win. Solid match.
Yep.
By the way, something that was subtle when going back before the match with Dakota and Mia. What type of pants was Dakota wearing? Anyone know?
Brent?
I wasn't looking at her pants.
Well, she was wearing like just regular pants, but they were NWO pants. Subtle.
Very subtle.
Too sweet. Woot woot.
So, Omega, did you have any thoughts on the pre-show before we move on?
I actually didn't even know there was going to be anything on the pre-show, so I didn't catch it.
Got it.
Like, how dare they put interesting stuff on the pre-show for once?
Content.
I know. I like how they did it this time where they had them on the stage as opposed to on a set.
Yeah, because they were actually live. Usually it's pre-taped a half hour beforehand.
Yeah.
Because usually they tape it a half hour so they can do the pre-show match for NXT TV. But since TV is now live, well, we're going to get pre-show matches. Okay.
All right, so opening this show was your women's war game match.
Oh, hold on. Before we get to that, because Matt brought something in the chat. Pat McAfee just went out there and tried to hard sell this show like no other. He did great.
Pat McAfee and his formal shorts went nuts tonight.
Yep. He went off full send. Not that he had to do a lot to sell this show.
No.
I think we were all pretty hyped about it to begin with, but Pat made sure the non-believers became believers tonight, and or at least he tried really hard.
He tried really hard. He got the crowd hyped. Yeah, he was good. That's a good role for him. Hype man.
Yep. Maybe he could translate that he could hype up for someone. Who knows? But yeah, anyway, so your opening contest was the women's war game match where you had team captain Rhea Ripley leading Candice LeRae, Tegan Knox, and Dakota Kai into battle against Shayna Baszler,
Io Shirai.
Io Shirai, Katie Lee.
Kaylee Ray and Bianca Belair. Yeah.
I'm trying to remember everybody. It's like, who was in that match? My brain is so fried from that. So,
because according to some, the match didn't happen.
Hang on. Time out. No, I never said the match didn't happen. I just said my feed cut out, and when I came back, it was 2 versus 4. That's all that happened.
Did the audio ever come back?
It was a bunch of static for a while, and then I just kind of came back, and Rhea was kind of like pressed up against the cage, and her and the teammates were just going through with the match. It was great.
Okay, so before we get into the match itself, I'm just gonna say, and it happened throughout the night, the light show they did. Holy crap, was amazing, because they gave the fans the light-up wristbands. Mm-hmm. Added such a great element to the entrances, especially for war game stuff. It's fantastic.
Yeah, that was cool. They did a lot to really accent and dress up this show.
And Tegan's gear, Brent?
Okay, for people who don't know, Tegan Knox is a complete dork.
What? An
absolutely lovable dork, who one of her favorite things in this entire world happens to be a little thing known as Captain Marvel. So if you happen to look at her entrance, she not only comes out in the fighter jacket, but her ring gear happens to have the look of a certain comic hero.
What I like that she did with her look is that it's a random reference to the movie where they're going through the suit options for her, and that's one of the suit options that they show in the movie, but it's not the final suit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a really random version of the suit because they're screwing with the colors.
And the fact that you have her and someone else on the roster that have just complete comic gimmicks when it comes to their ring gear, I love it so much.
Such lovable nerds.
Her friend's husband is a complete dork that we have seen many a time except for tonight because, he had to break the streak somehow. But the comic gear happened to just shine through still, no matter if he was on the show or not.
So, that's that. And then, holy crap, this match.
So, we had Candice and Io start this little fight.
And boy, did they ever start this fight.
Fight is the right word. It wasn't just, hey, we're going to start the match. No, these bitches wanted to kill each other.
And they were in the right place to do it.
Chicago. Mm-hmm. War games.
And the crowd was hot for this, by the way. The crowd was super into this match.
Yeah, they were. They wanted everything and then some in this matchup. Just
and
insane.
They kind of got it. I think the only thing they didn't get was tables.
Yeah, they were really upset over no tables.
I wonder why they didn't get tables.
And garbage cans and kendo sticks. But no tables, so everyone got pissed.
The best comment I saw on Twitter was like, oh, there's no tables because you can't get them in the cage.
Uh-huh. That's why.
Then you don't remember last year's war game before that.
Like, I thought that for like a split second, and then I went, oh, right. Exploding wood last year.
The men got wood. We'll just say that. The ladies weren't allowed to have the wood.
No, they got sticks, though.
If there was wood allowed in war games.
Moving back into the match without taking it in a direction that Wikipedia apparently did.
We're not going there.
Well, anyway. So yeah, when they brought out the tables, or they were crowd chamber tables, Rhea's like, nope, not happening. Nope, sorry. You get all
we
this.
We did get handcuffs, though.
You got handcuffs and you got everything else. Oh, God. Let's see. Io was a star in this matchup.
Well, yeah, one of the things I loved is they played off the history of these two, and so when Candice tried to go for the Hurricane Rana,
mm-hmm.
Io just did the front flip, lands, turns to her, and just does the finger like, nope. It just kind of highlights, yeah, these guys know each other's movesets. They know their history, and it was just beautiful to see these kind of like, this bit of just chain wrestling that happened, and it's just like, nope, you're going to try and do this, and it's not happening.
So you had Candice in there, you had Rhea in there, you had Io, Bianca, and Kaylee was in there as well, Kaylee Lee Ray. It was now time to even up the odds. But for
this is where the feed cut.
Before that, way back in the first one, because it's 5 minutes in the first start, someone missed the timer, and they had to redo the countdown again, because the crowd counted it down, and it was like, nothing happened, and then the crowd wanted, turn on the clock. And a minute later, you had Bianca get in there.
Well, I think this was, of course, playing into the fact of, was it a Ziggler match where it was like beat the clock or something where they counted every minute?
Yeah.
And so I think WWE learned their lesson. They're like, nope, we're not dealing with this shit.
No, they turned the clock went down for 5 minutes. That's what they counted down. So they missed the cue. So they had to go back onto it.
I thought they had pulled the clock off until the minute.
They counted fully down to the thing.
Yeah, no, they had the clock up the whole time. The crowd was just very respectful of the clock until obviously the 10, 9, whatever. And then they missed the cue for Bianca to get in the ring, and so they had to go back and redo it. Then Bianca got in the ring, and then her and Io just basically whooped up on Candice for about 5 minutes until...
Bianca was like scary as hell in this match.
Oh, the power bomb spot?
The triple power bomb.
Then into the cage.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the thing.
Candice is an all-star for taking bumps tonight.
Bianca is just a star in general. Like, tonight showed that. Same thing for Rhea Ripley.
Oh, Rhea looked like an absolute beast in the ring.
That she did. So, as mentioned, everyone was in the ring. It's time to even up the odds. So Dakota's going in, and you have Tegan cheering her on, and then, as you heard in Brent's intro...
Don't know what you're talking about.
Dakota Kai turn.
Did she turn, or did she so much just basically throw the finger up at the people that betrayed her? Because, I mean, okay, realistically, all joking aside, I want to talk about this because, like, Dakota was a part of the team, and then Rhea came along and was like, yeah, no, she's weak. We don't need her. We don't want her. We're going to make her fight for her spot. Mia Yim whooped her butt, and she got sent packing and was kind of shoved off to the sidelines by, like, Mia.
It was Shayna who beat Dakota.
And then Mia beat up somebody. Anyway.
Mia helped, and then that's where Shayna got the match with Dakota to prove Dakota had to prove herself, which she then lost.
That's right. Okay. Got it now. Anyway, Dakota lost, and they shoved her off to the side. That's what's important. And they all walked away from her, like her best friend, her two best friends. It's like Rhea and Mia are kind of a take it or leave it type thing. Because she's not that tight with him, but Tegan and Candice walked away from her. So, I mean, like, Tegan didn't even try to defend her. Tegan didn't even do anything. She's just like, yeah, okay, bye! I'm with the cool kids now!
Like, she's been up on the main roster. Dakota's not been there as much. Tegan's been hanging out with Rhea a lot. They've been doing, you know, all the stuff on SmackDown and on Raw.
There's been a lot of ass-slapping going on between the two.
I mean, so you can see why Dakota would be upset. She got left behind.
Okay, hang on. We're going to talk hypothetically here, okay?
I'm pretty sure this is not a hypothetical situation, but go ahead.
Hypothetically, if Dakota was to turn, there were some seeds planted when she first came back as well. If you remember her promo when they interviewed her after her first return match, she basically mentioned like going alone in terms of her rehab, in terms of a lot of things, which... When it first happened, you're kind of like, oh, okay. And then Tegan came back, and it was Team Kick again. But it was just really interesting when she first came back, there was this subtle thing of, I've been going alone. And then she was put to this, and then she's had some hard times recently between the stuff on NXT, and then when they went to the main roster and fought on SmackDown, if I remember correctly, Dakota was the one to eat the pin.
I think so, yeah.
So she's had a bit of a run of bad luck, and, you know, that could, hypothetically, maybe push someone a little over, especially if you thought you were going to be part of this great match with your friends and things just didn't happen to go your way. Just putting that out there in case something ever did happen.
So, because something did happen.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, hypothetically, if something were to occur, it would go like this.
Okay. Thank you. Hypothetically, if something happened.
So, Dakota Kai is introduced. She's being cheered on by her best friend, Tegan Knox. And then she just turns around and runs and gives a kick right to the face of Tegan Knox. And then just starts beating on her repeatedly. And not just beating on her body. She goes right for the surgically repaired knee. Over and over and over again.
Gets the brace off at one point.
Pulls the brace off the newest surgically repaired knee. Gets the door slammed on it 30 times. William Regal came out. And then he got shoved aside. She got pulled to the back.
He didn't get shoved aside. He got an elbow to the face.
Yeah.
This is when everyone went, oh shit, things got real.
Yeah. Yeah, when she put hands on Regal, it was like, oh, she's in trouble now.
Do not touch Regal.
She's gonna
do not touch Dad. Do not hit Dad.
She's gonna be taken back to
Uncle William. You do not elbow Uncle William in the face, young lady.
She's gonna be getting a talking to in the principal's office after this one was over.
She's probably there right now.
But then she came back and took more shots, and then did some curse words, and then they pulled her away. That's how it hypothetically would have gone down if it were to happen.
Yeah, and I'm playing this out in my head. I bet the camera would get a wonderful shot of Rhea Ripley looking like I'm going to kill a bitch as soon as I leave this cage.
But they also hypothetically got great shots of Shayna Baszler smiling, laughing, enjoying. And then when Shayna would hypothetically then leave the cage, skip out of the cage joyfully.
Count to four, count to two.
Looking over the remains of Tegan.
Like, oh, well, you don't have anybody else. LOL, what are you going to do?
Well, and the best part about all of this was us as fans, hypothetically, wonder in this situation, what do you do? Is it really going to be 2-on-4? Because it doesn't seem like that would happen. It seems like someone would come, you know, Mia Yim would stumble out and could, you know, possibly enter the match and eat an easy pin or submission.
But she's
roughed up.
But she was taken to the hospital.
Yeah, you thought maybe Tegan would pull herself to the ring and then, you know, be put in like a figure four or something and have to tap out because she's already been injured.
But they medically ruled her out of the match.
They close the cage with the referees in there, and all of a sudden it goes, wait, holy shit, it really is 2-on-4.
Mauro gets it in his ear. It's like, wait, we are being told this match is now officially started. Let the war begin.
And everyone goes, oh dear God, someone is going to die from the two-person team.
Okay, well, and we had it before that whole thing hypothetically happened. You had a Tower of Doom spot and then a 450 spot. It's pretty
Tower
sweet.
Of Doom onto a pile of chairs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Epic.
Then the 450.
And then Bianca 450 with her head hitting said chair, I believe.
Yeah, hopefully she's okay.
Hopefully. There was a double submission spot where, like, Rhea had Io in the cloverleaf thing.
The standing scorpion / cloverleaf.
Yeah, and then Shanna's like, okay, fine. Grabs Candace, starts choking her out. Like, who will get first?
Oh, that was so good. And also, kudos to Kaylee Ray for taking a suplex into a cage and then the cheese grater all the way down.
Yeah, that looked like it hurt.
The body was not supposed to bend that way, but it did.
Then Candace found an old toy of hers, the kendo stick, and just started waylaying into Bianca Belair at one point.
Oh, it was after the hair whip.
After Bianca whipping Rhea with the hair.
To be fair, you get whipped that many times, you probably would also grab a stick and start whacking back.
For a second, Bianca was just like, oh god, this is what it feels like. This is what I've been doing to people.
Then Io's on the top of this cage.
Oh, God, you. No. No.
For a second, I really thought they were going to play with that DQ stipulation and someone would go and shove her off
right.
together.
I was like, someone shove her off the cage.
Yeah. It's like, you're down 2-4. This is the easy way out.
Mm-hmm. But no, the genius of the sky hits a moonsault. Oh, and I think landed on her head, kind of. And yeah, that was a moonsault.
I think it was technically her knees, actually, is yeah, what she hit, did, and then yeah. she flipped over onto her head.
That flip over was just... Yeah.
Yeah, that was just... I don't even know if we can call that a standard moonsault. It was just that pretty.
It was.
Like, it was that well executed. It just was beautiful.
So
it was so pretty.
It was, so a bunch of them are down one cage. You have Rhea and Shayna in one ring, and Rhea and Shayna in another, then... Kaylee Ray goes into the other cage, but then gets smacked with a trash can. it was a baseball bat just smacking her.
Props to her for taking a lot of that.
So Shayna puts her in her submission, and then Rhea's trying to fight it out of it. She's trying to fight out of it. And then she eventually pulls the arm apart, sees the handcuff on Shayna's wrist, puts it on her own wrist. Now they're trying
to... Rhea had been cuffed earlier.
Oh, it was on
Rhea.
It was on Rhea.
And they were trying to apply it to the second wrist. When she's in the Kirifuda clutch, she pulls the one arm down. Baszler reapplies it with the other arm.
That's right.
Rhea pulls that down, and as soon as she pulls it out, Rhea starts to apply the cuff, and Shayna's eyes just got big.
It's like, oh crap, I'm screwed.
It was a cartoon moment.
This is called the Battle of the Tops right here. Who's the supreme top, Shayna or Rhea? We're going to find out real quick.
And we did real quick with the riptide through chairs by Rhea Ripley on the Shayna Baszler for the 1, 2, 3.
If it wasn't already made clear, Shayna's a star, Rhea's a star, Bianca's a star. All of them in this match are stars. But Shayna... Rhea and Bianca really stood out, as well as Io and Candace.
Like, props for Candace for pulling off the poison Frankensteiner, because
mm-hmm.
yeah. That's a dangerous ass move
mm-hmm. from the top rope. Poison Frankensteiner.
Well, that's where you have to hit it.
No, well, we've seen poison Ranas from the mat.
Yeah, we have, but that was the proper move, and it's dangerous as hell because neither can tell where they're going to land.
We'll talk about dangerous moves later as well. Oh shit!
Yeah, we'll get there. Well, yeah, Team Rhea got the win. So your winners were announced as Tegan Nox, Dakota Kai, Candice LeRae, and Rhea Ripley.
Tegan Nox didn't win anything tonight.
Okay, and in the ensuing weeks, I would just like to say hypothetically. Dakota Kai's gonna die from about 5 people.
Yeah.
Because there's an entire team that's gonna kill her and Mia, who she took out.
Okay.
So, Dakota, I hope you're watching your back.
So, I have one complaint about this whole thing. I wanted to see what Tegan/Dakota could have done in this type of match. That's my only disappointment. The angle was fantastic, hypothetically.
thank you, Rock.
But I would have wanted to see what giving Tegan a platform to shine. That said, what they did will advance her career even more, hypothetically.
Yeah, what's going to come in the next couple of weeks is really going to help them out, because it gives both Dakota and Tegan something concrete to do, and you can pay off the losing streak from Dakota.
And you can make it a slow build before she gets to Tegan, because you have TakeOver in February to look forward
Wait,
to. Yeah, TakeOver's in February, so you have plenty of time to slow build it, especially with the holidays coming up, so you can stretch some things out.
Yeah.
So, that was our first match. What's next?
Up next, the match that I'm pretty sure just continued to make everybody pregnant. Pete Dunne. I have to remember all of this. Pete Dunne taking on Killian Dane, taking on Damian Priest for essentially Adam Cole. It's an Adam Cole on a stick match, ladies and gentlemen. Winner get the NXT champion tomorrow at Survivor Series. I loved everything about this. I wanted more, but I feel like what we got was just enough at the same time.
I could have done with like 5 minutes less.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, the match was great, but when someone messaged that they needed to go home, yeah.
And they needed to go home they did follow, but they needed to go home like 5 minutes beforehand, just because you were losing crowd at points. And that's why I was saying it needed to go home just a little bit. Because you could tell they were like, you were wearing the crowd out a little bit on it, especially with all the close near falls. You were wearing them out, especially after the first match. It's like, okay, we gave these guys 20 minutes because that's how long this match was. But you could have done with a little bit less, because it felt like, just to me, I don't know what you guys think, that they tried to do a little too much at times.
The chemistry was a little off in this, I feel like, just because you had two different feuds that were got slammed together, and both Damian and Killian were fighting with Pete Dunne. And so they brought all three of them together, and it's like the story that you kind of told with Damian and Pete is a little bit different than what you were telling with Pete and Killian. And so they were all trying to kill each other, which is fine, but I felt like there were some chemistry issues at times, and it showed.
Because it's three men with three different ways they wrestle, three different sizes. Because you have Pete, the smaller man, Killian is the big, bigger, bulkier man, and then you have the really tall man in Damian Priest.
With the really deep voice.
With the really deep voice. And he can fly, apparently.
He
can fly.
Except there was the one spot that was just a little off, speaking of him trying to fly.
Yeah.
When he goes, he sets up like he's going to... So Killian's on the outside, Pete was already on the outside, and you can see Damian setting up for something. And on the one side, you can see Pete starting to run to the other side of the ring to get ready for something. Damian hits off the back rope, starts to run, is going to jump and do, I think, a Luchasaurus style, somewhat tope. But he gets to that rope and pauses for a second, and that's when Pete comes out of nowhere.
You mean for the tope suicida?
You know, in my day, we call it a suicide dive.
Yeah.
For assholes.
Yep. Oh, Pete Dunne taking the razor's edge on the announce table, that did not break.
Oh.
That hurt. You know that hurt.
And by the way, kudos to Damian for hoisting Killian for the razor's edge in the ring.
Oh, God.
That looked like it took a little bit of effort to do.
He's just a little heavy, ladies and gentlemen, just a little heavy. But in the end, standing victorious is one Pete Dunne.
I liked Mauro kind of throughout the match alluding to the fact of they get to face Adam Cole and he has to come from War Games, so they may have an advantage. To the end of the match when he goes, never mind, no one has an advantage.
No, they've all beaten the crap out of each other. They have no more advantage.
We thought. I mean, Pete was pretty spent, but...
Other people later...
did things.
Yeah.
So, up next...
Omega thoughts?
Oh, I'm sorry. Omega
thoughts. No. It actually works. I had to run an errand during this match, so...
Okay, good. We move on to the next match, then.
Up next, we have the Slut Prince, Finn Balor, taking on... I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry, but the man just, like, walks out there, and when he went dick out, essentially, just sticks it out for everybody to see... You can't help but call him that.
Oh, just wait till the next demon shows up.
Right?
Oh, Brock, I forgot one very important thing.
Hmm. What?
In the Damian Priest match, we saw something we had never seen before.
What was that?
That would be, I don't know what you would call it here, but I could swear it. I've seen it before somewhere else on Wednesday nights.
Huh.
For those of you who didn't see, at one point, I believe Damian Priest took Peter Dunne up onto his shoulders into an electric chair style move, moved a leg over to the front, and did, I guess it was what, like a Michinoku style driver?
Yeah, so the electric chair driver.
Yeah! He only had one wing when he did it, and he looked very angelic. When he, you know, drove him to the mat.
But we saw
I'm pretty sure somebody else felt a disturbance in the force.
There was a couple of disturbances in the force tonight when it comes to that group.
Yeah. So moving on, Finn Balor taking on Matt Riddle in a grudge match, nothing on the line. This was better than I thought it would be. I didn't think this was going to be bad, but just in terms of Matt Riddle and Finn Balor, I'm not going to say it.
Don't.
On the air. This is better than I thought it was going to be. How about that? Thoughts? Opinions?
It was good. I enjoyed it. They kind of meshed well. It took them a couple minutes to really sort of find their groove, but once they did, they went all in.
I like a little bit more of the aggressive Finn side, because we've seen Smiley Finn on the main roster. We saw, you know, Finn in peril a lot, but he had a distinctive edge this time, which we hadn't seen before, and it was really kind of cool to watch him wrestle that way.
He found his cockiness again.
Yeah, we've got Prince Devitt tonight instead of Finn Balor. And it was little things also, like when he does his entrance, they don't do the bright lights into the crowd anymore to see everyone doing the hand thing.
No, it's just on him.
It's just Finn now.
Mm-hmm. And I honestly really love what he's doing. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Smiling Finn, but I like the aggression. I like that he's like, I'm done with all your crap. Now I'm going to beat you up.
Yeah. Like, honestly, it has been harder to take him seriously because he has been all smiles so much. Like, he just doesn't come across as someone who's out there to win a match.
Him and his work wife have decided to take darker turns, and it's kind of nice to see.
Just like Dakota Kai. Hypothetically. But then...
Look, if I had to see Bayley go evil, you have to see your girl go evil.
I can see Finn go evil. That's fine. I fully admit that.
If I have to see Taker lose at Mania and his hair...
Hey, that was another choice. That wasn't uncreative.
Then you have to deal with Dakota.
But Kiwi Wifey hurt the Welsh wife.
Hypothetically.
Welsh Wifey betrayed Kiwi Wifey.
No. She wasn't... She
with New Zealand? No, with... Where's Rhea from? Australia?
Australia.
With Australian wifey.
See, Kai and Rhea already don't like each other because of the whole New Zealand-Australia thing. Tegan's just the kid in the middle of the divorce, okay?
Or is she the one who caused it? Anyway, so...
No, it's not Tegan's fault.
But it is.
No.
It is.
I don't believe it.
It is. Hypothetically, it is. Anyway, so in this matchup, we saw Matt Riddle pull out some interesting moves, including a spear. Followed by a jackhammer.
Who's next? Hmm.
And then a bro to sleep.
Bro to spear.
Which is what he usually does when he sees a spear and a jackhammer.
Bro.
Damn it.
He holds that mouth just right for it.
Lindsay! Stop it!
So Riddle had Balor in the bro mission. Balor gets out, is able to counter the V trigger, hit the 1969 for the win.
Rock, say it right.
V trigger!
There we go. You gotta really get into it for the V trigger.
You gotta get into it. Yeah, I know. This was a good match. I enjoyed it. It wasn't there to steal the show, but it had its place.
It was a nice little pull-down match between everything else that had happened so far and what was coming.
Bro.
Well, so the new move, because the one thing that confused me was they already had the 1916 in the match. That's the lift-up reverse suplex. But apparently there's a 1916 DDT.
Yeah, I guess it's sort of like a brainbuster type thing.
Yeah, it's a spike DDT essentially. But when I heard Mauro call it the 1916, I just paused for a second and went, wait, didn't we see that already?
It can have a series. It doesn't have to be single.
Okay.
He could be branching out, you don't know. There could be a whole plan here. So anyway, any final thoughts, opinions, emotional outbursts on this one? Anybody need to clean up afterwards?
No, but we do have some news that we need to address before we get to the main event. Well, go ahead.
Hey, Mauro may have needed to clean up for how many times he thought this was a dream match.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go that far.
Okay, so we have some news concerning Survivor Series tomorrow night. We have found out who the women will be for Team NXT.
Oh, thank God.
Okay, it was announced by Rhea Ripley. It'll be herself, along with Candice, Bianca, Io, and Toni Storm.
Okay, so two people we just tried to murder, are going to be our teammates.
Going to be our teammates.
Hey, okay.
We've got exactly one fresh person on the team.
When you go through hell, as we learned with the men's takeover, you find common ground. That's how Dominic and Keith ended up on the same team.
I mean, let's see if Io and Candace can get along. That's all I'm going to say.
As far as the men go, Shawn Michaels will be announcing them tomorrow during the Survivor Series kickoff show.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, God, Uncle Shawn's in charge.
Is he bringing the tank?
Oh, that tank is awesome.
If you didn't see it on SmackDown last night, there was a tank at the end of the show.
They brought out the DX tank. And
they did.
And DX rode out NXT, which is amazing.
It's not even a tank. It's a fucking Jeep with a cannon on it.
It's a tank.
It's a tank.
It's not a tank because there's no armor to jump into.
It's a tank.
Moving it's not a tank. It has wheels.
Where was Stephanie when you needed her?
The armor is Bruce. Hunter and Sean's love. And oh the cannon God. Is something else. Moving on.
It's also Hunter's love.
Just get ready to
Sean's love.
Yeah, just get ready to suck. Anyway, main event.
we already talked about that, Matt Rock.
Your main event of the evening is the second War Games match featuring Undisputed Era taking on Keith Lee, Dominik Dijakovic.
Say that three times fast.
Right? And Tommaso Ciampa with an unnamed fourth. So everybody comes out except for the unnamed fourth. Tommaso just walks his ass to the ring in typical fashion. Daddy's home.
No. He made another exclamation as he hit that ring, which was caught firmly on camera.
Yeah. So, before we get into anything more, the mask.
Oh my God, I want that mask.
Yeah. Tommaso thinks he's a Mortal Kombat character, and I'm fine with that.
Almost looked like fucking Vega on steroids. It was great.
So, when the women came out, they went full force. The men took their time.
I feel like the men had a lot more time in their match versus the women.
The women
had a lot more.
The women had 27. The men went 60.
Yeah. So the men did a really nice job of building this up into this frenzy, especially when we got to the big surprise towards the end of the match, or I think it was actually towards the midpoint of the match.
Midpoint, yeah.
It feels like it was towards the end, but you know, when you've been watching it for 30 minutes at that point, it's like, oh, okay. But yeah, so you had Tommaso and
Roddy
Stark, and they beat on each other for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kyle got involved, which Kyle and Roddy unsupervised is never a good idea.
No.
Stupidity always ensues. Then you had...
Dominic
get involved.
And then Fish got involved.
And then Fish got involved.
And then the crowd was chanting for Keith Lee, who then got involved, and he just started mauling over people.
Oh my God, Keith Lee. Holy
Keith
crap.
Keith Lee, welcome to your moment.
And I think that's exactly what he did, because he knew this was like a one-shot thing, and they all did, that it's like, here's the opportunity to show everybody what you're really capable of doing. You have 60 minutes to do whatever you want. Go. And I feel like Keith Lee broke out tonight, for me, mm-hmm. and I think for a lot of people, because we haven't been able to see what he can do.
Well, and it's we've seen glimpses of it in the matches with Dominic. We've seen it, you know, in the past week or two, like with the triple threat match that he was a part of. So it's like you've seen some stuff, but you're really kind of wondering what happens if they kind of really put the pedal down and put it into another gear. And Keith really did it and did it well.
Like for a while there, he's like, what's the big deal about Keith Lee? What's the big deal? And it's like, you didn't see it, but I think he got hurt a little bit or whatever. He was recovering from something. And then he came, they brought him back to TV and he's just turned it to another level, which is been really good to see.
Mm-hmm.
So Adam Cole then comes out and he brought the wood.
He brought a lot of stuff into that ring.
He was trying to set a record for how many tables were entered into a wrestling ring at one time.
Except for one table.
Which I hate when they do. I hate when they do shit like that. It's like, Table in the ring, table in the ring, table in the ring, table in the ring. No, not this one here. I'll set you up right there. Table in the ring, table in the ring, table in the ring.
Yeah, wait, it was what? It was the second one he pulled out, too, because the first one goes into the ring, and then he sets one up on the outside, and my first thought is, someone's going to die after the match, because you can't put someone through the table during the match. It's on the outside. That's technically a forfeit?
Yeah, you forfeit the match at that point, yeah.
But we found out that that rule only applies in certain respects.
No.
Like, once the match goes official.
The match has to start, yeah.
Because, as we found out, Tommaso Ciampa decided to put Adam Cole through said checkoff table.
So, we then had everyone in the ring and waiting for the fourth. Waiting for it. Who's it going to be? Everyone said some names. We've all speculated who it could be.
Okada. Skrull.
Marty Skrull. You name it.
Hey, I thought Dwayne Gill was going to come out at some point, okay?
Gilbert could have shown up, the Velveteen Dream. One person wasn't going to be was Johnny Gargano.
We all knew that.
We all knew that. But it was Kevin Owens.
Oh.
Wearing the old KO shirt.
And the best sell of the night goes to Adam Cole's face when Kevin Owens walked out. It was just pure, utter disbelief, shock, and oh shit, all mixed into one. It was perfect. It was absolutely perfect.
It's like, what are you doing here? What?
And I do have to say, best moment of the night goes to Kevin Owens meeting Adam Cole in the center of the ring. Cole throwing up the Undisputed Era hand fingers.
And then he's trying to figure it out.
Kevin contorting his fingers into something, and then giving the crotch chop and yelling, "Suck it, bitch."
Stunner.
With a beautiful sell.
Cole learned how to sell that from Shawn Michaels, The Rock, Steve Austin, whoever.
It wasn't The Rock, because he didn't go flipping out of the cage.
I believe it would have been Shawn Michaels. He was Shawn Michaels, or possibly Hunter. Hunter could have taught him how to do it, too. It was a beautiful sell, either way. Like, Adam Cole did Shawn proud tonight.
Shut up like he got hit by lightning.
So, there was one point with Kevin Owens. He throws, I think, Strong or O'Reilly, one of them, into the cage. And he goes, "Did that hurt?"
Can we talk about the brain buster on the center to Adam Cole?
Ooh. And then
fuck those teases, by the way.
Yeah. Then he did, Cole did his finish.
Panama Sunrise.
On there. Ooh.
Yeah, Kevin taking that was kudos.
Like, I wanted that package pile driver to hit so bad. No. Like, no, the full flip pile driver, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, totally fine. This was a war. It was a war. You had everything you could ask for in this one. You had all the table spots you can handle.
You had the Oprah table spots. You get a table.
Everyone got a table. There was a frog splash through a table, a powerbomb through a table. That took out six men. Then there were two. You had Adam Cole riding the fence. Like he loves to do.
As he does so well.
As he does so well. Just rides it all the time. And Tommaso Ciampa on top of the cage. And they're on top of this cage. And there's two tables in the ring. And we're sitting here going, "Oh God. Oh God. No. Don't do it."
We just fixed him.
And He hooks up Adam Cole to Ciampa for the air raid crash off the top of the cage, suicides down through two tables. Oh my God.
Looks like a car crash.
A famous dentist was in the crowd, stunned, couldn't believe her eyes.
His girlfriend, Britt Baker, has said on the stream, and somewhere Cody Rhodes and Kenny Omega went, "Fuck!"
I just heard Adam Cole's girlfriend.
Yeah, I don't think they said her name. I think they just said Adam Cole's girlfriend.
No, I think Twitter said they did say her name, but yeah.
I believe they dropped her name, Britt Baker, on air.
I'd have to go back. I didn't hear the name.
Yeah, I don't remember hearing the name, but yeah, they showed her, and when she's sitting there like, "Oh, holy crap."
She looked scared.
It was bad.
She was scared.
Because it was. Essentially, it's like, if you didn't see it, basically, Tommaso's got Adam pinned to his back, cradling Adam's neck and his ass. And then Tommaso just falls backwards, and Adam takes the brunt of that fall, because he's on the bottom. So there is a high risk for serious injury, because Adam has almost no control over this entire situation. It's all on Tommaso to make sure that Adam lands properly. And if Tommaso's off by, like, even an inch, it could be really, really, really bad.
Yeah.
And even that,
even if they know what they're doing, it's still like 15 plus foot fall to solid wood
twice.
That being said, kudos for Tommaso Ciampa for protecting him as much as he fucking could as well.
Yeah, you watch that fall in slow motion, and Tommaso's actually making sure he's okay. Like, actively shifting him, so that way when Adam lands, Adam takes it more with his butt than he does with his back. So, I mean, kudos to both of them for taking it. Adam Cole, and obviously they both land, and Tommaso just lays on top of Adam, and he gets the 1-2-3 because neither one of them are moving, and in fact, Adam Cole didn't move. That's
just how they fell.
Yeah, that's just how they fell. Adam Cole didn't move, I think, the rest of the time that they were on the air. Like, he just laid there in the shattered remains of these tables as, you know, Kevin and the boys celebrated their victory. And then Kevin, like, hugged Tommaso, and then he's like, peace, I gotta go, I'm gonna kick your ass tomorrow. Bye! And that was it. And that was all she wrote for TakeOver.
Okay, I just went to that section of the show. Mauro does say Adam Cole friend's girlfriend, Britt Baker.
Ooh.
On air.
Ooh.
That's fine. You're legal. It's a factual statement.
It's a factual statement, and she is a participant in the crowd. When you go to an event like that, you acknowledge that they can use your likeness.
I'm surprised. I mean, I'm surprised, but I'm not surprised that they showed her.
It's not the first time,
but with active TV shows that she's on right now, I'm really surprised that they put her up there.
I think.
Especially since I don't think she knew she was going to be on TV.
This is just me thinking out loud. They don't care. There's no war.
I know they don't care.
They don't care. They've moved on. The internet's going to make it a big deal. It's not a big deal.
Well, it's a little bit of a big deal.
It's not a big deal. It's really not going to be a big deal. Please don't. Headline writers of the news sites, stop. It's not a big deal.
AEW comes to terms with the release of Britt Baker. Hey, we lost the Highlanders for this shit.
Yeah, we did.
I mean, technically we did, so we'll see. But I mean, overall, this was a really, really, really fantastic show from top to bottom. I mean, I hate to say it, but I feel like Riddle and Finn were maybe the weakest match on the card, and that wasn't really even a weak match at all. But that's just me. What are your thoughts?
Everything pretty much delivered tonight. I mean, the triple threat was good. Could you have shaved a minute or two, you know, 2 to 3 minutes off of it? Sure. But I think all in all, when you're watching it, you're just like, nope, this is a hard-hitting match where people are trying to kill each other. The women's match was good, even with feats dropping out. Riddle and Balor, you know, delivered a good level match. Like you said, I mean, even if it is considered quote-unquote the weaker match of the four, that's still pretty good considering what we got from it. I don't think it was disappointing at all. And then the men just went and tried to kill each other, legitimately, from the top of a cage.
I think what I really like about this was that the women basically said, follow this, and the men went, okay.
Yeah, that's one of the nice things with TakeOver is you always have that hot first match, and things just carry through. You know, when we watch, you know, perhaps even some other main event, or, you know, like Raw or SmackDown style shows, they might have a good first match, but then there's always a match in the middle where you're kind of like, it was okay. Tonight was just carried straight through. And the fact that you've got NXT with some of the main roster stars tomorrow, I'm really looking forward to seeing what they deliver, you know, on another pay-per-view.
You bring up tomorrow.
Yeah, we need to talk about tomorrow.
That leads to this interesting question, and it was even asked of Triple H. And it's the old age-old question. But whose side is he on? Is Kevin Owens? Brawl? Where's the NXT tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting question. Was this a one-time thing, or is Kevin coming back?
Well, I think in the words of Tony Schiavone, we'll just have to tune in next week to find out.
Okay, but here's so, another... Or wait, does anybody else... Sorry, I'm just moving it on, but does anybody else have any comments?
No, I'm quite satisfied.
Okay. So here's the bigger question talking about tomorrow real quickly. Given that Adam Cole died for his sins tonight... And Pete Dunne was only minorly maimed for his sins tonight. One has to wonder what's going to happen in a certain title match tomorrow. Could this be Pete Dunne's night simply because Adam Cole is not 100%? I mean, we all have to agree that out of the two beatings, Pete Dunne is in far better shape.
Pete Dunne didn't fall 15 feet to his death.
That does ask a good question, because will Adam Cole even be medically clear to compete tomorrow night?
He'll be fine.
He'll probably come rolling out with taped ribs, but...
They'll just push him out there. They'll just be like, go. But...
They'll give him the Zack Ryder in the wheelchair treatment.
I got some news.
I'm picturing the rest of the Undisputed Era just carrying him out on sticks like a puppet.
Okay, so everything gets pre-planned and with this War Games match, right? And we thought that was a crazy spot, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the spot that got approved. Triple H vetoed spots.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
Oh, my God!
What did they come up with?
Okay, I'm just saying right now, thank God Kyle is alive. Thank God Roddy is alive. Thank God Dominic is, you know, breathing. Because I have a feeling other people... would not be on.
Oh, I'm sure Kyle wanted to do something exceptionally stupid. I'm just calling that one out right now.
God, are you kidding? Kyle probably, as soon as the show went off air, tried to jump off the top of the cage for fun.
That's the spot that got approved. Sweet baby Jesus. I need like an untold of what they wanted to do. And Hunter, because especially Hunter, going, no. Like, you know... You know it was insane if Hunter said no.
He just flat out said no.
Like, didn't even have to think about it. Was just like, uh-uh, you're not doing that. But Dad, no.
I'm just picturing a list of what's there, and Hunter's just like, yes, yet no, no, God, no, forget that. Okay, maybe this, no.
Kevin?
Kevin, did you change this list?
Like,
they probably went to Sean. Said, hey, Sean, can you tell him we want to do this? Can you just sort of like,
yeah,
or nudge him along in this direction?
Butter him up, Sean. Butter him up.
Look, Dad said no, but can you talk to him? You know, it's
yeah.
Yeah.
Dad already said no, but can you talk to him and just see if we could?
Dad said we could do it. Dad said we could do it. Are you sure? Should I go ask him? No. He said it.
Adam just batted his eyes at Sean, and Sean was like, "Kay," and went and talked to Hunter for him. Like, you know, that's how that happened. Probably not, but, you know, it's like, I want to know. I really want to know what they wanted to do. Because I think my favorite part is, you know, after all these years, Kevin and Adam are reunited, so you know it was just stupid as crap. Whatever it was, like, it was just, we're going to do everything because we can. Because when are we going to see each other again to wrestle in the near future? Aside from tomorrow? Probably not. Unless Kevin's going to NXT, we don't know. But yeah. And I just saw on Instagram the title match is still on for Pete and Adam, getting back to the question at hand.
Okay.
So, could we see a title change? Any thought?
No, Pete Dunne versus the shambling corpse of Adam Cole.
Okay, I see it now tomorrow. Cole kind of limps his way out, gets ready to gear up, and when they try to do the bay roll, just like can't lift his arms. He's just like, no.
I'll say this about it. If it does happen, and Adam Cole is dead, that's great, because it's points.
Brock looking out for the bottom line.
It's all that matters. Well, the bottom line is what matters.
The one thing I will say is, tomorrow night, Adam's got all of his brothers there with him, so we could see shenanigans in order to keep that title.
They have to get up off the mat first. Last I checked, they weren't moving either.
You know what? Kyle will be fine. He's done dumber things in the past.
I understand that.
And it probably got vetoed tonight. What could have happened?
But again, they all have to get up and get up off the mat. And I'm just going to throw this out there because they were nice enough to put it out on social. Bate and Seven are in the country.
Yep.
They're here somewhere. I believe they are in Chicago. So if there are Undisputed Era shenanigans, there's nothing stopping Mustache Mountain, which I will scream very loudly if that happens. Oh my God, I'm sorry. You were going to say something?
No.
I guess we just need to tune in tomorrow and see what happens on the show.
I guess
sounds like a good plan. Hmm. But I think we're done because I don't think the intern has our picks.
No, I do have the picks.
He actually came prepared for the show. Wow.
Hypothetically speaking, Rock, you dick. So coming in at 2-2, the Magic 8-Ball.
All right.
We beat the 8-Ball, guys.
It had Team Heel and Undisputed Era winning in the War Games. It just didn't anticipate the horror that would be the War Games. Lindsay? You did 3-1. You thought Adam would not die for our sins tonight, but unfortunately, he did.
I'm okay with that.
And that's our show for tonight.
Wait, what?
Where did Rock place?
I did not make picks because I was busy with stuff this week.
Wait, hold on. He can make picks because he's writing down the sheet. He could just fill them in really quick. So that's not an excuse.
I was pulling the picks at a certain point, so leave me alone.
You can still write your picks in.
Shut up.
It takes 30 seconds of thought.
You could have made up picks on the fly, dude, to have a better record than Rock. How would we know?
Because I am honest that way, okay? Because I'm ethical and I think with logic.
Okay.
I'm going to interrupt this real quick.
What was that? Hold on. What was that?
No, Lindsay, what did you say?
No, Lindsay, hold on. What was that, Brent?
Rock went 4-0.
I like you.
All right. So I'm watching the network because I just left it on, and they have Heavy Machinery on there, deep frying turkeys. Otis is topless, and they're drinking beer. This looks like every Southern Thanksgiving I've ever seen in my life.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to Thanksgiving.
I mean, it is. Like, Tucker's standing there as Otis is lowering the turkey. He's like, gently, 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 gently. And now somehow R-Truth has showed up with the 24/7 title and they're dangling a grease-fried turkey. What is this show?
The Bump. Okay. Every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern.
So, I just want everyone to realize we are getting a couple of Southern boys drinking and frying a turkey. And after tomorrow night's pay-per-view, we're getting two drunk relatives talking to each other. This is Thanksgiving WWE style.
Okay, I'm just going to say this right now because I don't get to go on the air tomorrow. The Taker interview with Stone Cold airs tomorrow night after Survivor Series. If the drinking portion of that interview does not hit the air, I'm going to be really disappointed because I want to see those two idiots sitting there doing shots and talking shit. Like, I really, really want to see that.
They did announce that shots were involved on air.
Well, hopefully they show them all.
Yeah. I want to know how many shots were taken, and I want all the stories that went with them because... the interview is 2 hours. I want all 2 hours of it because we aren't going to get another one.
So with that, I say we're done.
I think we're done. So Omega, you have stuffs to plug, so plug away.
So as usual, if you want to find me on the internet, you can search for the term TJ Omega. That is what I am most everywhere. To go directly to me, you can go to TJ Reviews on Facebook. You can go to TJ Omega on Twitter. You can go to TJ Omega on YouTube. And then for a little bit of extra video content not on YouTube, it is TJOmega.net.
All right, Brent?
I do not have nearly the electronic platform he has, so you can just simply follow me at Kane Kittens on Twitter. Anyone who tries to tell me stuff happened tonight, I will block you.
All right, so we need to tell Tim to talk about this to Brent on Twitter. Got it.
Yep.
Got it.
I already have him blocked.
Anyway, there you go.
All right, Rock, plug away.
Coming up, in just a couple minutes, it'll be Fortnite with Friends. What we're doing, we'll probably discuss in the break. Then, following that, will be CB Radio. We're doing it. Since it is No Shave November, we're doing the beards on the Greater and Great Debate. Beards. So we'll talk about that. CBRadio.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. Sunday night, Omega will be live following Survivor Series on Wrestle Talk Radio to recap it all. Monday night, the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern.
You good? Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I'm counting everything. Maybe. I'm counting everything I need to do. Then it's the Rack Extra. You can check out the Rack's Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble Thanksgiving Spectacular, which will be available on Thanksgiving morning. Right, yeah, that's how that goes. So we're not live. We're not live on Thanksgiving. There'll be a Rack Extra reviews coming for the Kane book, Mayor Kane. That's coming. We don't know when. It's coming.
We're going to try to get it out this week, but it all depends on schedules and that kind of thing because we need to read it. So
we got the book yesterday.
Yeah, we just got the book yesterday. So, but we will try to get it out this week if we can.
The Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're on Spotify. Just search for the Rack Radio Show as well as Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and all that fun other stuff. That Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, Twitch.tv/WTLive, follow and subscribe. If you have Amazon Prime, link to Twitch accounts called Twitch Prime, you can subscribe for free.
All right, now are you done, or are you still counting? All right, you can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, LANSWRD. You can follow me on Twitch under the same name, at Linsward, LANSWRD. Check out our very fine sponsor, MBGFilmsYouTube.com/MBG1211. And everybody sit tight because we are going to do Fortnite with Friends. We don't know what we're doing yet. We're going to talk about it probably during the break, and then we will come back. So everybody sit tight. Go grab a snack. Go grab you something to drink. If it's cold where you are, get some hot cocoa or something hot. If it's warm where you are, go get you something icy cold. But till we come back, you've been listening to Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be back in a few. Till then. Bye!